Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Hey man, we are back with another episode of your favorite podcast. That is the Listen Up Podcast, man. Florida State 8-0, demolishing of Wake Forest. Felt like a little bit of a revenge in the first half. Second half, we definitely saw something different. Sam, I guess before we get started in that one, man, Jaguars going up to Pittsburgh and handling business for Kraken, right?
Yeah. We definitely beating down on the Steelers this morning, today.
Yeah.
I want to say, man, before we get started, I apologize about last week getting the episode out. It was, man, I can't even lie to y'all. I've been doing a lot of stuff, a lot of work, you know, so I closed out on a rental property Monday, and we were supposed to record Monday. Then I had got the update that my son's doctor's appointment was on Monday, and I told Brandon I couldn't do it. So that was on me last week. It's been like just one of those years, man, where it's like everything's happening all at once. So sorry about that.
I mean, you want to give a quick touch up on Duke? I know they've heard from every aspect, and we'll definitely break down Wake Forest. You want to give some quick thoughts on Duke?
Well, I thought the game went the way I thought it would go. I kind of felt like Jordan would throw a pick in that game, just because of the way Duke plays. But I thought FSU, you know, Leonard being hurt. You know what? And crazy, even with Leonard being hurt, I think FSU still would have won that game, to be honest with you. I don't think it had been as lopsided, but I think they would have won the game by at least 10 points. But yeah, and FSU is continuing to handle business, and I think – as we look at this week and the results of this week, the playoff picture is becoming clearer.
Yeah, very much so.
It's becoming clearer, you know.
I think Michigan, Florida State, and I think Georgia are three, in my opinion, teams I believe will be there. Outside of that, I don't know who that fourth team is going to be, but I feel very strongly in Michigan, Florida State, and in Georgia. Georgia, I think you said it a few weeks ago. When Georgia decide they want to play, they're going to beat your ass. Like,
yeah, when they decide they, yeah, yeah. When they, when you decide, well, no, when you decide,
when you decide, play, yeah, exactly right. When you decide you go, yeah. When you decide you go play for real and you're going to start talking, then they're going to be like, oh, all right. I guess we got to stretch and we'll wake up and we'll beat y'all down a little bit just to show y'all that we still for real.
Well, yeah. I think the thing with Georgia is, and I think you're seeing it with some of these great teams that have great players on the team that haven't been playing well, is that a lot of them are kind of breaking in new quarterbacks.
Right.
I know Georgia's breaking in a new quarterback. Bama breaking in a new quarterback. So you kind of see a little, you know, because Bama's starting to play better now. You know, they're starting to get a little daunting now. So, you know,
they're going to figure it out. Yeah,
they're starting to figure some, but they're trying to figure out what they can do, you know, right, what they can do. And so Georgia's not off the hook. They play a pretty good Missouri team next week. And they probably going to end up either playing LSU or Alabama. And I think if they play Alabama, that's going to be pretty daunting for them because it's, you know, Alabama can bring a certain physicality that can match Georgia. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah, I thought Duke went a little different than what I expected. Y'all didn't see the pod, but I actually picked Duke. I thought their defense was going. I thought a lot of the problems that we had been seeing on or against Florida State, I thought Duke was going to be able to expose those on defense. And I think early on it started to look like that for sure. But then, you know, as I think probably through the first quarter, I was like, Florida State gonna win this. They don't have enough depth and talent. And I think that's really gonna be the problem with just about anybody we play left on this schedule, you know, not including the playoff teams. Florida State just has too much depth, too many weapons, and too much talent in a lot of different pieces. And they just keep coming in waves that I think makes it very difficult for a team like Duke, who has you know what I mean, who you know, got some good starters, you know what I mean, got some good players at key positions, just not enough of them. I think played them, if they had somehow made it to the ACC championship game, the game would have looked a lot like it did, you know, the other day. And I include that with Riley Leonard. I don't think there was any, you know, question about whether Florida State was the better team or not. Again, we rallied up 40 something points on a team who had not given up more than 21, and that was on the last play of the game. You know what I mean? It's really difficult to look at Florida State after the Duke game and say, all right, you know what I mean? Teams, like, how'd you roll up that many points on them? So
that's just my opinion. And then you roll into the weight game, and I thought the offense was kind of what the offense is a little bit. It gets very clunky on offense sometimes, but I think that's because of the limitations of Jordan throwing the football sometimes. But once he starts to run the football, it kind of really opens up everything on the offense. So it doesn't bother me too much. The only way you're going to beat FSU is you got to score points and put real game pressure on them. Because if you're not scoring points, eventually they're going to score on three straight possessions. It's going to happen eventually. You know what I'm saying?
And the game will be over with. And the game will be over with. That defense gets to tightening up. And if we went to the Wake Forest game, I thought yesterday was, in my opinion, the complete game that we had been looking for, especially in that first half. They came out focused, ready to play. And I thought put them to bed, I want to say, pretty early. You know what I mean? I thought by halftime, I had an idea that this game was over with. What was it, 30-something, you know, at the 7 at halftime. Yeah. The game was over with at that point, and I thought Florida State basically cut the gas off. All right, this game is over with. We have no way of losing it. Again, I've often said I don't like that about the team, because they will absolutely realize that the game is over with, no one's won, and cut the gas off.
Well, but I don't think they'd be cutting the gas off.
I thought they cut the gas off. Yesterday, it looked real vanilla, especially defensively.
I think these teams are – they're not like the teams in the 90s in 2013 where they're so great across the board that when you start rotating guys, you're not dropping levels. I think on that 2013 team, you would take Tim Jernigan out and you would get like five-star Jacoby McDaniel, who's in his fifth year. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
It was so much talent that even the second wave or third wave of that talent would just blow you off the field, right?
Yeah.
I think with FSU, their first like 24 guys, 25 guys are really, really good. Then after that, they're kind of on level with everybody else. And then you see teams start making little plays on these 50-50 balls. I think the Banks kid, I was surprised they didn't get him the ball early, because to me, Keon Coleman's the best wide receiver on the field. But to me, after Keon Coleman, the kid Banks from Wake Forest is probably the second best wide receiver that was out there. He's really, really good. Wake came out the second half, they threw him the ball a lot. They just started just force feeding him the football. You know, he was making plays, you know, then they stopped doing it. So, you know, kudos to them. But I don't think it would have made a difference, because FSU can continue to score. You know what I'm saying?
At any point in time, but they felt like cutting it back on. And when they did feel like cutting it back on, it was like, all right, y'all see y'all trying to make a run here. Let's go ahead and really show y'all what this is. Yeah. Yeah, in my opinion, Florida State is what we thought they'd be at the beginning of the season, a team who's going to average at least 35 points a game. And if you're not hitting 35, you're not going to beat them. And I still believe that's on anybody. Miami, Florida, whoever they play, they're going to have to reach 35 points in order to beat them. And I'm just not seeing – and the defense just doesn't seem like they are good enough to where they're not going to give up 35 points.
Yeah, they're good enough. Like, they do enough good things.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah, they do enough good
things. Yeah, exactly. They're great situational, in my opinion. Like, if they need that stop, they usually get the stop when they need it. We've seen it all season long. They're not great. They're just really – good, I guess, at certain things. You know what I mean? Like, after halftime, usually what this team does is they be like, all right, we figured you out. This is a wash for whatever you had in your game plan. This is a wash. We figured it out. We'll shut it down. It's why they've looked so good in the second half of games. And offensively, Mike has figured out what you're trying to do defensively and figured, all right, this is my counter. Like, I feel like they're great counterpunches on offense and defense to where they're going to figure out what you want to do, and now we're going to counter off of that. And yesterday was just another example of, all right, we know what you got, but let's put them away. In other words, let's get up early on this one and see if we can then just kind of coast to the finish line, keep everybody from getting injured. They sat Johnny, you know, Johnny, I probably could have played, but I don't feel like they needed him. And then you saw other guys step up. You have a very deep team. They're cycling running back, so your running back is always fresh. Outside of Keon Coleman, the receivers just keep cycling in and out. Same thing, right. So they're always fresh. By the time you get to the fourth quarter, you're playing with guys who have had very limited snaps, while your DBs and defensive guys have been playing all game long, guarding right. against weapons and weapons and weapons. Right. And Keon Coleman, I don't know how much we can say about him, but he's the best wide receiver I've seen. I know, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. or whatever. Keon making dudes look silly. And I ain't talking bad DBs. He's making good DBs look silly.
I don't like this conversation with this – the Marvin Harrison Jr. versus Keon Coleman. I don't like that conversation. I do think Keon Coleman is really, really good. Like the best that's been at FSU in a long time. You know what I'm saying? And I'll leave it at that. I don't know, man. It's, these comparisons are insane.
People get so sensitive about it. Regardless whether you agree, listen, you got to agree with it.
I'm just saying
Keon Coleman is at this point making really good defensive backs look really bad. Week in and week out, every single week. You know what I mean? Like,
really good. He's really
Really, like, but I don't think we expected this. Like, when we got Keon Coleman, we expected a number one, and we figured he'd take over the number one spot. We said it when we got him, right?
Yeah.
I don't believe anybody at any point in time said Keon Coleman was going to be one or two or top five best wide receivers in the country. And that's what he is right now. He is easily top five, the best. I'll have him at one because I have not seen a guy who continuously makes guys look bad. They shaded him last week with one guy up underneath him and a guy over top of him. And he still was able to, first of all, Joy made a hell of a throw, you know what I mean, to get Keon open. He threw it to a spot that only Keon can get it to. And then Keon made an unbelievable catch. But we've seen that every single week, Keon just making one-handed catches, unbelievable catches. Dropping guys, number one DB, like they started the game with, hey, this matchup between Keon Coleman and Carson is going to be one NFL scouts are here to see it. And he proceeded to embarrass this kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they came, the NFL scouts came for this matchup and Keon Coleman embarrassed them. I'm not sure there's another guy. And when you add Johnny to that rotation, it gets really, really scary because you have two guys who are NFL players on the outside with Jordan Travis. When he decides he's going to run, and I think that's been the biggest difference. We saw it second half of Duke, and we saw it yesterday as well early in the game. When Jordan Travis decides he's going to be a runner, it really does add a different dimension. It adds a different dimension to the game because Jordan's gone. You know what I mean? Like it really does. It puts those linebackers, it puts those safeties in conflict almost every single play. And now it opens things up for, you know, again, the running game wasn't really the running game because I think Mike is, like you said, he's leaned away from the running game. Mike's out here. Hey, we throwing it. We got a bunch of receivers out here and we even going to throw it. And then we can't run it. And I thought they mentioned it yesterday on the broadcast as well. We're going to throw it to these running backs out the backfield. And those will be our extension of running plays. These are our sweep plays. And we're going to let these running backs make plays. They are really, really talented on offense. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure there's a team who's equipped to stop them. And that's even looking forward. You know what I mean? When you start looking forward and saying, okay, well, Miami, they've shown you who, you know, you've seen who Miami is. Miami's not very good.
Well,
I expected that.
Well, I think, well, Miami quarterback isn't very good. I mean, their defense is going to present problems because if you're going to be that one dimensional, then that means, I think the thing about the Miami game that'll worry me is that, like, Jordan Travis doesn't get hit a lot in these games. He's going to get hit in that Miami game. Like, you know, he's going to get hit in that game. So that's going to kind of – it's going to be nervous energy for the Miami game because they keep coming. Like, they don't – it ain't like a – they hit you every now and then. They hit you a lot. Like, they come up – like, their defense come up with bad intentions constantly. Now, the offense, to me, isn't very good. Like, if they don't get humming in the first quarter, it doesn't hum at all. Now, if it hums in the first quarter, it hums. You know what I'm saying? But
– Sam.
Okay. You know, okay. Now,
I don't disagree with what you're saying as your assessment. I'm saying if we're talking about Miami, does Miami
– I think you're going to beat Miami, but I'm saying –
Okay, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when you say Miami's going to present problems,
they are.
It sounds like a close game. Miami will present problems for a little while because it's a rivalry game and, you know, whatever. Right. But they're going to throw it. He's going to fumble the football at least one time in that game. He's probably going to throw a pick. That's going to give Florida State two extra possessions. I'm giving at least two extra possessions against Miami, right? And offensively, we've already said, as good as their defense might be, they're not better than Duke's defense, in my opinion.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know. I think the material on Miami is a lot better than the material on Duke.
I ain't talking about material. I'm talking about who has right now the better defense would be Duke's, in my opinion. Just from who they got on the corners, their coaching staff, how they
I don't know. I think that's a good conversation. I don't know because I think the way Duke plays, Duke makes you drive the football field. Mm-hmm. They do tackle very, very well.
Yep.
They do tackle very well. Duke is probably like Duke's not going to get the dumb penalty right. They're not going to get a 15-yard face mask.
They're not going to blow an assignment, and Miami will absolutely blow an assignment.
Well,
Miami's great at scheming.
Yeah, but Miami's coming though. Like it ain't that they're blowing assignments. Like we're coming. Like you got to catch us in something because we're finna come and hit you.
And they
like,
that's what we're coming to something. Do. And they get caught all the time. Like and they get caught by bad teams. Virginia should not be. Under no circumstance for Virginia go into overtime, and then who was it last week? They went in the double overtime. You know, like these are not Clemson. Good teams that they're going
overtime. Well, with Clemson.
Clemson was, but you're going into overtime with Virginia, who they played the week before. There was another close game. Like they are not beating teams to basically state that Miami is going to be a problem.
But
I believe Miami is good because they're a rivalry team, and I think will present some problems early. Similar to kind of how Georgia did, how Florida did with Georgia. They threw everything but the kitchen sink at Georgia early to try their best to build some momentum. But at the end of the day, it had to be real football players playing football. I think it'll look a lot like that.
But I think the issue with Miami would be Miami matches you in the trenches, though. Like they match you there. So it's not. Huh?
So did Clemson.
Right. We saw how that game went. We went into overtime with Clemson.
Yeah, but Clemson also has Klubnik as a quarterback. They also have a decent coaching staff.
I don't think
it's a close game. In other words, if you're saying the game is going to be close, I'm arguing that Miami game is not going to be close.
Well, I don't know if I can say it won't be close, but I guess my thing would be because somebody just put in the chat, Sam, you said before Duke was a good sound defense. I'm saying they're still a good sound defense. I'm not saying Duke's not a good sound defense. I think that sometimes y'all hatred for Miami and Florida causes y'all not to give them any credit for anything they do.
I'm not taking them any credit. I'm talking about watching them play the games against good teams.
But I'm saying as fans, we do this. Like we have a hard time giving rivals credit. You know what I'm saying?
My only bias is Florida. It's hard for me to give Florida credit. I'll admit to that bias. Right. I have no problem getting Miami credit. I've watched Miami play every game they played this season, and at no point in time did I look at them and think.
But I think that when you talk about matching up in the trenches, Miami matches up in the trenches probably better than any team we've played so far because their offensive line, in my opinion, is better than Clemson's offensive line.
Okay.
Their defensive line is probably on par with Clemson's, but I do think they got a guy in Bain and that other kid, Najee Kelly, and they got another guy in the middle, that guy Taylor, that they don't actually have to blitz, but they create these one-on-ones on their defensive line, and they win a lot of one-on-ones. Like
I'm sure, yeah.
And I guess the whole thing is, now Miami had a quarterback, they would be national championship contenders. They don't have a quarterback.
I don't disagree with the word you just said. So all of the players you named are good. Yeah.
Right. So I guess my thing would be, if you allow Duke to reel off a lot of running plays in that game, which you did, you allowed Duke to reel off some running plays.
Definitely did.
And you allow Wake Forest in the third quarter, they reeled off a bunch of running plays to kind of get back into that game. Well, you're going to play a team in Miami. That's what they want to do anyway. They want to do that. Like, Mario has no problem running on first down, running on second down, running on third down, and shortening the game up. So, do I think you're going to beat Miami? Yeah, I think you're going to beat Miami. I mean, I'm just saying that's a game that you – they have a lot of material that matches your material. Like, it's not going to be some – I think with Florida State, when they played Duke, when they played LSU in the beginning of the season, I thought Florida State had – it was matchup issues that I thought that Florida State could take advantage of. I don't know in the Miami game, it's that many more matchups when you talk about your offense versus their defense. So they're going to get stops in that game. You're not, it's going to be kind of hard. But one thing about Florida State is Florida State finishes better than any team in the country to me right now. So I don't think Miami can hold water by the end of the fourth quarter. I think by the end of the fourth quarter, FSU will do what they kind of do and kind of put points, cherry pick points at the end, you know, touchdown here, touchdown there, while Miami's not scoring. But I do think the first three quarters of that game would be like something to watch. I really do. I think it's going to feel like old school Miami, Florida State, to be honest with you. That's my opinion.
Okay. I'm going, we're going
only to because they got them. Only because they got trenches. Like,
What gives
FSU problems is when we have a hard time blocking, it did on defense, we're getting blocked. Like, once we're getting blocked and we have a hard time blocking, these games become interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Outside of Duke doing that for one quarter, who has done that consistently for a game?
Boston College did it.
Boston College. So Boston College, that's it. Now, I don't disagree with Boston. Boston College did do it.
I'm just saying.
Boston College also had a really good mobile quarterback who was getting better and better every single time they played.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, they don't have a mobile quarterback in Trevor Van Dyke. No, or whoever is
they. That's what I'm saying. They don't have a quarterback to keep up with points. But I'm saying defensive, like, what they can run the football. Like, it's not that's not an aberration. Like, they do run the football.
Duke is the only team we've seen really drive down the field while running the football. We have not seen another team just line up and just push our guys off the ball. I really don't believe that. Yeah, Kelly is from what it's.
Oh yeah, you know, yeah, Kelly is hurt. I forgot about that. Kelly is hurt.
I don't know. Again, we can talk about Wake. We own Miami and we got Pitt, but Pitt's gonna be a blowout. Pitt gonna get blowed out. Like,
to me, the season is in two games. Miami and Florida. That's the season.
Oh, see, I don't disagree on that one too.
I'm gonna say something, man.
Florida. Okay, so I'm gonna step back because Florida is not good.
Okay.
That is that. Like, I understand you believe in Florida.
No. This is no. What I be
I'm telling you, I well, you can but we, when just, we watch can Florida we, play good teams. Florida looks really, really bad. Like, I can't keep telling me. I can't keep saying they're a good team while every time they play good teams, they go out there and get their ass handed to them. It's difficult for me to look. Now, this is unbiased. Forget what I feel about Florida and all sorts of stuff, because I ain't never going to root for them. But what I'm saying is, it's difficult for me as an unbiased person to say, hey, man, Florida got a good team. Miami got a good team. When every time, first of all, Miami is playing poorly against bad ACC. They're losing to bad ACC teams, and they're playing against poor ACC teams in overtime. I can't look at that team and say, oh, well, they're going to get Florida State problems when I'm watching Florida State dog walk everybody they play against. They play against outside of BC and Clemson, they've dog walked everybody they played against. It's difficult for me to look and say Miami's going to be a problem or Florida's going to be a problem. I just watched what Georgia did to Florida. After that kitchen sink got thrown, they threw everything and the kitchen sink. Once the kitchen sink was gone, they have nothing else to do, and that game was over with at that point. Georgia lined up and decided y'all ain't going to stop. Whatever we feel like doing to y'all, wide receivers open, tight end open, running backs running. They got pushed all over the ball. Do I believe that Florida State, it will look a lot like that? Yeah, I do.
Okay, so this is my whole thing. When we get on here and talk about the team, right?
Florida has athletes. Okay. Everybody got athletes.
When we get on here and talk about the team, and y'all say what type of matchups are going to cause FSU issues, I just named the things that cause FSU issues. Teams that are good on the offensive line, defensive line, causes FSU issues. Now, FSU beats these teams more times than not that we've seen this year. They've done a good job with not allowing their weaknesses to become a crutch for them and allow them to get beat down, right? So I think FSU is clearly a top five team. I really do believe that.
Clearly.
But when you're watching college football, every top five team is in ball games. Why are they in these games if they're so dominant? If the top five team is so much better than the number 35 team, why are they in ball games? Because all these teams in the country now, especially in the top 35, top 45, top 50 teams, you know, the top five teams have about 10 to 15 players that are so much better than those top 35 teams, and they can squeak out and win these games. We watched Washington do it yesterday against Stanford. Mm-hmm. We watch I think Georgia had a game earlier. I think it might have been against Vanderbilt or whatever. You know, pretty tight game going into the fourth, and then Georgia kind of pulled away. So these teams are better. These are not the 90s anymore. Like, the top five or top 10 teams do not wipe everybody off the board anymore like that. Like, it's more parity in college football. So what you do is you look at the country. You look at your team. You say, what do our team not handle very well? What creates problems for our team? Like, what do we have? What do we don't have?
Mobile quarterbacks and motion offense.
Okay, true. And FSU offensive line isn't great. It's a average offensive line. Yes, they couldn't push. They couldn't push Duke off the football for 1 yard last week. It's a fact.
Could not do it. That's 100%.
It's not a lie. I'm not lying. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. I watched the game. Now, and I think with Norvell, he would much rather be able to take his offensive line and say, okay, let's just push guys out the way. Let's melt these games away. They can't really do that, so they have to keep scoring. They have to keep kind of getting a little fast, and that's fine. That's not wrong. That's not bad. But when you see those things, you have to make marks, notations on it. Okay, had a hard time pushing Duke off the football.
LSU D line is good, right?
LSU D line is good,
right? And they gave us trouble for a little bit, right?
Right.
And what happened in that game? By third quarter, their D-line, hands on their hips, like you could physically see, we're done. We don't have anything else to give. We're tired, we're through. And at that point, Florida State started blowing those dudes off the ball and the game was over.
Right.
I believe that same thing will happen to anybody. And again, I'm not talking Georgia. I'm not talking, Michigan. But I'm saying that exact same thing is going to happen. If you're saying they're going to play for a half, I'm with you. They'll play for a half. Might be up 3-7 going into halftime. By the time that mid-third quarter come and them hands get on them hips and them dudes start getting tired, Florida State is still as fresh as they've ever been. Those wide receivers are just as fresh as they've ever been. Those DBs are D-line, and everybody gets to eat. And it's why those second halves look as crazy. Like, we've argued about the rotations and the fact that they play too many guys, but they've clearly figured out the fact that, no, we're going to play all these guys. Because early on, we'll let you hang. Like, it might allow you to hang in the game with our second group. You might be able to push them dudes off the ball for a little bit. But after that, once we get into that third quarter and you dudes have played 80 snaps and our guys have played 40 snaps or 45 snaps, we are going to beat the shit out of you. And we have seen Florida State do that every single week.
Consistently. I think they're going to continue to do that.
Right, and that's all I'm saying.
But if you get on the podcast and ask me, who's going to get FSU some problems? I mean, I have to give you an answer. What do you want me to say? They're going to blow everybody about 30 points?
I want you to say nobody. That's what I want you to say. I want you to say nobody's going to give us no goddamn problems. They're going to beat us everybody by 30 points. Say. I want you to say that Miami going to get beat by 30 and Florida going to get beat by 30, and that's what it's going
to
be.
But then they could go listen to Wake Up War Chant and 247.
Listen, I'm just telling you what it is. I don't disagree that Miami and Florida will be games for a little bit. When I say a little bit, I'm talking halftime to midway in the third. I think I've looked at every game Florida State has played and said they're gonna win this. At any point in time have I looked at any of these games and thought maybe Florida State could lose it, except for maybe that Boston College game. But at any point, I was like, watching these games, you felt like Florida State's a better team. You know what I mean? Like, even early on when they were struggling with teams, and why you were like, why they not putting teams away? Why they substituting like that? You always looked at it and said, they'll win the game. I think that's how I feel about the rest of the teams we play. Like, I think we'll go early on, even in that Miami game, it'll be like, okay, Miami hanging around. We got some stuff. They playing with a lot of emotion. It's a lot of feelings. They aggressive, blah, blah, blah. And then by the third quarter, when you got to play real football, Florida State will end up, they'll drive down the field. They'll get you a touchdown. They're going to turn you over. Then they'll get another touchdown. Right. And then next, you went from down 3 to down 17, and pretty much the game is a wrap.
Right. And I think FSU is going to beat those teams. I'm just saying, if you ask me what gives them problems, okay, if you got a stout offensive line, defensive line, that gives them problems, right? Because that means they can't do what they want to do. They have to now start doing a lot of trickery type stuff, trying to out-leverage you. They can't just blow you off the football.
I thought Mike has done a better job with that this season. That's the only thing I think Mike has done. Like last season, if you don't throw a screen in there or something to get these D lines who are just pinning their ears back to throw them off balance. I thought this year he has absolutely incorporated that screen pass, and it's worked every time he's called it. Worked, and it's worked for touchdowns. So right. I do think once you add that element to your game, it will slow those pass rush down a little bit. And we've seen it now consistently to where, all right, send them. Yeah. I'm gonna throw this screen when you sending everybody, and we're gonna get you one on one, and we're gonna let Toa Philly, and we're gonna let Benson or whoever catches that ball make plays.
Right. So I think they've done a good job. It's a good football team. It's a top five team. It's a top five team in the country. I don't know what to tell people. It's a top five team in the country.
They're good. Yeah, they're very good, guys. Yeah, like Florida State is very good. We are 8-0. We're likely to finish the season 12-0. I don't believe, like, again, a lot of people, I had Pitt as probably the stumble game that they would do, but Pitt is god awful.
It's terrible.
We ain't got to sauce it up. Pitt's going to get beat.
The only two teams that's going to be able to match material with you.
Florida.
But I think you're better coaching those teams. So I think you'll win the game. But the only team that's gonna, other than Keon Coleman, who I think more times than not there won't be a better football player on the field in any of these ACC games, including the ACC championship game. I don't think there'll be a better player on the field than Keon Coleman. So that's a big X factor going into every game. Now.
And you're not playing a quarterback better than Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis will be the best quarterback, you know.
Yeah, and then other than that playoff game, I don't know about the playoff games yet. We'll see how. Like I keep telling people keep want to say, oh, this team overrated, or that team overrated, this team. Man, we still in October. Like, what? This shit is finna play itself out in front of your eyes. You know what I'm saying?
What you can take care of, which is the team in front of you. Florida State keep winning. They in the playoffs.
All this complaining about, where all these ESPN talking heads or Fox talking heads is ranking your team, it really don't matter, man. Like, even Kirby said it. Kirby said, I don't care. I don't, like, stuff don't matter.
We've been called frauds all season long. You beat a bad LSU team. Look, you struggled against BC. It took you to overtime to beat Clemson, and you was losing. Like, we won every single game.
But I think
we will continue to win every single game.
A lot of this stuff, though, is like, when somebody is talking here, talk about FSU, I see what they're seeing. I get their point. And then I see the other side. I see the other side of why I said, well, FSU to me has the best resume. They do. They have the best resume, right? So you can get mad about it, but I don't think these teams, I think everybody's trying to project forward down the line. And people, most time these talking heads want to see the best possible matchups. That's what they want to see. Right.
Yep.
But
they're also biased. Just like I'm biased. They be biased.
Well, it was a big deal last year because people didn't want to let TCU into the playoff. That was a big thing.
And they was like,
man, don't put TCU in the playoff. Because they just felt like TCU didn't match up. Okay. Well, TCU did beat Michigan. They did. They beat Michigan.
Sure did.
Okay.
But people weren't projecting against Michigan. People wanted somebody to compete against Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted Bama in there, so Bama could beat Michigan. Then you get Bama Georgia, which would be a better game. People want a better game. They want to see two of the teams with the most talent play one another. But football isn't always fair like that. That's just not how this works. So at the end of the day, I don't care what FSU does in the playoffs. I keep saying this to people. I don't care. I really don't. I want them to win it, but I don't care. If they make it, I'm happy. I don't care what they do in the playoffs. They can go out there and fumble the ball nine times in a row. I won't say nothing. I won't care.
Tell you something. I did not come into this season expecting no national championship. Let me be very clear. I felt like Florida State was a good team, but I also felt like they'd probably lose one or whatever to somebody, even if it wasn't a Florida, Miami, Clemson. Yeah. I just figured Florida State would lose one. The fact that I have them going undefeated is a change, and I appreciate the fact that they're playing better.
And
if
they
win the ACC championship game, great. Yeah. They will be in the playoff. If they go undefeated and win the ACC championship game, they will be in the playoff. They will play Michigan or Georgia or Ohio State or Washington or whoever that fourth team is in there. And I don't care what happens. I will root like hell for them to win, and I promise you I'm going to pick them because that's who I am. But I don't – I'm going to come on here and be like, problem, well done. You know what I mean? Undefeated season.
The other problem with the playoffs. The other problem with people dismissing what FSU is doing is because they're doing it in the ACC. And, man, you know what? I'm going to say this. And this is going to probably piss some people off. FSU fans, we dismiss the competition in the ACC. We think they're all trash. We do it. We think it. Personally, we all think it. So then when talking heads get up there and dismiss the ACC, the player that the teams that Florida State are playing the ACCs, they're saying the same thing you're saying. They're dismissing the teams that you play in the ACC because they dismiss the ACC teams. We do it too. How could you struggle with BC? How could you struggle in the third quarter against Virginia Tech? How could you? We're saying awful, this stuff live.
Not, I think the problem is they're not watching the games, though.
No.
The problem is they're making opinions off of the score at the end of the game without actually seeing the game. And that's the problem with the talking heads. McAfee has never watched Florida State play a game of football. And I believe that.
When
you come out and say that you got Florida State 6 based on some bullshit that you made that you saw on TV, you know what I mean, a few weeks ago,
it
rings hollow.
They think more of Texas or Oklahoma playing that Big 12 schedule than they think of FSU playing their ACC schedule. They think more of Alabama or Georgia playing their SEC schedule than they think of FSU playing the ACC. They think more of Washington and Oregon playing in the Pac-12 against those teams than they think of you playing the ACC. That's the truth. That's the truth.
That's 100%. Now, which is why Florida State cannot lose a game and get in.
So now, is that fair or unfair? I think the ACC teams this year are pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I do. I'm not saying that to be like being funny or being a homer. I think
Louisville beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think the ACC teams this year are pretty good. I think BC is like the fourth best team in the ACC. I think BC against probably anybody in the country, fourth best team, and I think they give them a game, right? But that's how they view it. And guess what? That's how the talking heads view the ACC. And guess what? That's how y'all view the ACC. Because if the game is 7-7 at the end of the first quarter of Pitt, y'all going to say, what the hell is going on? Pitt's trash. It shouldn't be 7-7.
But the game at some point the game is 7-0. But and the game is 10-7. Okay. And then you know what I mean? We watched the game yesterday, and at one point the game was 10-7. But at no point in time did you feel like Florida State was gonna lose that game.
Right.
Or that this was actually in a ball game. And that's what I'm saying. So when the RJ Youngs tweets out, look at what's going on, Florida State, it's 10-7.
RJ Young.
It's a quarter and a half. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? This is how football goes.
RJ Young,
I know he's trolling, but I'm just using him as the example. Like, these guys aren't actually watching the games. They're just commenting off of where they look at the score and the time. And it's lazy, and I think that's what Florida State fans is fighting about, because it's lazy journalism. You're basically looking at box scores and saying, wait, Florida State's 4, BC ain't ranked. Why is the game 2 points? That got to be a problem. Oh, Clemson missed the field goal. You would have lost. You didn't look at the fact that Florida State had over a minute and something left to go in the game. You know what I mean? Like, if he missed that field goal, then it would have been – there was still a minute and a half. Like, I'm not sure what game you watched, but you didn't – you know what I mean? You didn't watch it. You just assumed Florida State winning the overtime, and if this kicker didn't miss this field goal, Florida State would have lost. That's not necessarily true.
Right.
Florida State was playing for overtime because, again, do I agree with it? But there was over a minute left at when Florida State got the ball back. I'm just saying, these guys aren't looking at the game. They're basically just looking at box scores, and that's why Florida State people are mad, because we've watched these games. We've seen Florida State absolutely dominate these games at the end of it for most of the time. But then when you go back to these two games where Florida State struggled against teams that you feel like were inferior, meanwhile, you've ignored LSU. LSU keeps getting discounted, even though LSU keep winning.
Right.
You're ignoring games or teams that have won. Boston College is 5-3 right now.
Bro, every week.
That quarterback keeps getting better.
Yeah, but every week,
we're saying shut the fuck up. Like, let us be great.
Yeah, but every week, man, people are discounting these teams. Washington got the best win in college football. They beat Oregon a couple weeks ago. Now they play two close games. People say, oh, Washington's frauds. Now what are we doing? What are we doing?
We've seen what Washington can do. And that's what I mean. Washington fans should feel terrible about that.
Right.
But here's the thing. But Washington ain't going to take that hit because they credit Stanford over BC.
Right. They do. That's just the facts. They don't respect the opponent that you play in the ACC. And guess what? It's always been that way.
And BC would slap Stanford.
I don't know. It'll be game. It'll be game. But I mean,
I think bowl season is going to be fun because I think ACC is really going to beat a lot of teams, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I believe the ACC the ACC teams will beat a lot of teams in their favorite conference. Teams who we have considered good all season long. I think mediocre Florida, Duke is going to beat somebody in their bowl game. I think, you know what I mean? Louisville will beat somebody in a bowl game. And to be honest with you, I'm a little worried. Like, Louisville plays us well and that coach scheme stuff open with a lot of motion. And Louisville is a game that I worry about more so than any of, you know what I mean, than Miami and Florida, in my opinion, because I think Louisville's coaching is good. And I think Louisville does some things schematically that can present us problems.
Right.
I don't know. But I do think they'll beat Louisville. But I'm just saying, Louisville, in my opinion, if you say there's a problem on the schedule, Louisville's that problem. Because Louisville has shown the ability to score points against good defenses. We've seen it. They did it against Duke. We saw them do it against Notre Dame, who I think has a good defense. So when you start piling up points against good defenses, I'm going to say you might be a problem.
Yeah, I think Louisville is Louisville is very, very good. Yeah, Louisville is very, very, very good. I give you that. They're a scary team. I don't like their quarterback. I don't trust their quarterback, but they are a scary team. But
I don't either, but I agree.
Yeah, and I mean, so I think at the end of the day, people probably should not get so up in arms about you watch college football game day and they tell you whatever they say about FSU, because at the end of the day, these games got to get played. You know what I'm saying? Like, the games got to get played, man. So I think the thing that's bothering me with this whole situation is, if FSU go undefeated, which I think there's a possibility that's going to happen.
They did lose a bit.
Georgia go out there and go undefeated, lose in a SEC championship game, and they lose to Bama. And let's say Bama got two losses now, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you get Oklahoma play Texas in the mm-hmm. Big 12 championship game. Mm-hmm. Texas beats Oklahoma. Okay. Texas is going to get in now, okay?
Okay.
Now you got Texas, Bama, Georgia. Mm-hmm. All right, then you have FSU. That's mm-hmm. a hell of a gauntlet to go through. Those are two tough teams. Gauntlets to go through.
Which teams? You talking about Texas?
Texas, Bama, Georgia.
Texas can line that shit up. I don't respect Texas, but Bama and Georgia. Bama and Georgia is where that'd be pretty tough.
But then I think again, like looking at these teams, I think Oregon, Washington. I think FSU could beat Washington. That's going to be a
– No, you can't come around to FSU could beat Washington. You were just telling me Washington was going to smack him. What was that, 3 weeks ago? Line it up.
I think a lot of Washington – I mean, these teams are starting to absorb injuries. Like, that's – you know.
I just want to make sure – like, if that opinion going to change, when I was saying line it up with Washington, you were telling me, Washington for real. Man.
Lined up with everybody. We lined up with Georgia a couple weeks ago when Georgia was playing bad. You were talking about,
Georgia was starting to figure it out. I had a conversation. The reason why I was saying lined up with Georgia, because I didn't think Carson Beck was that good, right?
Right.
Carson Beck is starting to figure it out, and not at this point. If Carson Beck don't figure it out, then they don't have any weaknesses. That's why I was saying lined up, because at that point I was like, listen, dog. Carson Beck is average, and at this point, and Bauer's gone. I was talking a little spicy. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Carson Beck is starting to figure it out now. He's getting good. I don't really want to see. Georgia decides they're going to shut you down. They're going to shut you down, and it's going to be bad. And again, here's the thing. I'm going to pick Florida State. I'm not going to be thrilled about it. I ain't going to be real. Like, I ain't going to believe it in my heart, but I'm going to pick Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, I pick Florida State to beat anybody too, but I'm just saying, like, teams are going to present problems, man. If you're going to play a top five, top 10 team, if you're going to play a team that's recruited very well the last 2 or 3 years, going to present problems. Play a team with a great quarterback, it's going to present a problem when you play them. So, you know, FSU's good.
Listen, man, FSU's top five team. Hilarious. You can't say nobody good. Like, you know what? Nobody's good but us. Like, yeah, I mean, I've come to realize that. Like, I'm looking in the chat, and you was like, Washington, you know, I mean, Washington frauds. It was something else earlier. They were like, man, Duke only scored whatever. I mean, Louisville only scored 23 on Duke. Louisville ain't no problem. Then it was like Louisville, but Louisville lost the pit. And I'm like, okay, all right. So you're right. Nobody's good but Florida State. You're right. Like, yeah. And it's funny as his fan base because we are so emboldened, man. And the more we win, the crazier we get. The only thing I'm gonna say, we can wrap it after this. Can we please leave the refs alone? Like, this campaign on the refs
every week,
screwing Florida State every week, and we gotta do montages, and we at in the ACC, and we talking to the ref. Like, yo, as fans of you guys, please stop this shit. Like, it really sounds, it looks away. It looks real sad and soft. We are winning these games by 20 plus points. Yeah. I get it. These refs screwed us or they made bad calls. If y'all are not watching college football, just say that. But I'm telling you, I watched the Florida-Georgia game and they missed three face masks. One play, they missed three face, no flag in their pocket after the man was grabbed by his face mask by three different players and nothing was called. At this present moment, what do you want? You know what I mean? Like, what the refs are bad across the entire NFL. They're bad across all of football. The refs are bad. They really bad. We don't have to point it out every week. We ain't got to tell everybody about it. We don't got to clip the plays up to send to the ACC to show them that they bad. They're bad. And they stand it on the bad. Y'all send it to the ACC. The ACC come back. Yep, that was right. While everybody knew the call was wrong. They don't care. We got to, like, stop it. Please stop it.
I think the funniest thing I saw yesterday was FSU got called for a horse collar tackle, which the dude grabbed him by the back of the back. And it was a horse collar tackle.
And they missed one earlier.
And they thought, well, they all missed one on Florida State early. I'm like, bro, so do you want them to call horse collar or don't call horse collar? Like, what are we doing? Like, I don't – bro, I watched the game, the Wake Forest game. I don't think that game was terribly refereed yesterday. I thought the referees made a couple mistakes. Like, they didn't allow Duke to get a sub in when Duke was trying to get their sub in, which was – I understand why the coach was mad.
The late sub things is starting to be a thing. I've seen coaches use that strategy now. If they sub late, we're going to wait to the last
possible second. I'm going to tell you something
else. Use a timeout or a delay a game. I think that's actually smart. Like, so the refs running over the ball, giving you a delay a game. Smart strategy, in my opinion.
Too, FSU, when they run certain plays, because they did it against Virginia Tech, the wide receiver, Keon Coleman, had held the safety on one of those big run plays that FSU got away with. And then FSU, when they run that counter, sometimes you'll see the tight end sometimes will kind of rip the linebackers every now and then. Like, it happens. You know, it's coached a certain way so you can get away with it. Mm-hmm. The JT slide is such a weird thing because the way he slides, it's like he's running full speed and he just stops and kind of dips down. And it's like,
here's the other thing. What are we asking the defenders to do? Like, Jordan Travis is a very elusive quarterback. These guys are running to stop Jordan Travis, the running quarterback who can at any point in time decide he's going to shake you, right? So these guys are running full speed to stop Jordan Travis from shaking them. And then if he decides, he may decide to slide. He ain't going to shake nobody this time. He's going to slide this time. And these dudes are running full speed. Like, I'm not sure I can understand. JC slid and got a didn't get
touched up.
I understand that. It should have been a call. I don't disagree with it. But JT also is a running quarterback who slides sometimes and decides sometimes he's gonna shake you. It's difficult for a defender, and it's difficult for a referee to be like, I don't know.
See, you know even on like, that, see the Keegan pass interference call. I thought he got away with two of them actually, because I know the one that they called for. If a wide receiver extend his arms and then push back to go back the other side, that's almost always automatic PI. It's 100%. Almost always auto. If you extend your arm, if you run a route, you run the comeback route, you run, get into the DB, and you extend your arms out and turn the other way, the flag is normally always coming out. He does that a lot, to be honest with you. But at the same time, man, like,
they're bad.
Offensive pass interference only get called once a game, if that. Referees
once every few games.
Really? Yeah. Ever call offensive pass interference? Really ever?
And most of the time it's on pick plays. And most of the time it's on illegal pick plays. Yeah.
So, and Keon, like I said, he gets away with that a lot because he is a lot stronger than most DBs. He kind of get up in them a little bit, then he just kind of dislodge them a little bit, and he jump up and go catch the football. Now, in the NFL, that's like one of those things where that's being a savvy veteran wide receiver to kind of dislodge a wide receiver, the cornerback, and go jump up and catch the football. So I didn't really have a problem with that call, to be honest with you, man. Like, I really – and then the thing with FSU, the media was already bitching about a referee in that way before the game even happened. They started on Wednesday. I'm just like, okay, man.
That's what I'm saying. It really looks away, man. We got to stop this. We got to stop this referee campaign, man. Like, bro, we are too good of a football team. We're winning these games by too much of a margin to decide we're going to focus on one bad drive.
But you know what, though?
Bad calls in a football game. Everybody is getting bad calls. We got to stop it, dog. Like, we really let it go. We going to get back. Listen, I'm going to tell you, against Pitt, they're going to make some bad calls. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to make bad calls against Pitt.
I'm going to tell you something, man. Let me tell you something about Pitt. I watched Pitt versus Louisville when they beat Louisville, you know. And this is just context.
That's not the same Pitt team either after they coach tell them they was all trash.
No, but when they played against Louisville, they was mugging those wide receivers, grabbing them, pushing them down. And the referees, I think the referee probably called two pass interference the whole game. And they was mugging Louisville wide receivers. Mugging them. The whole game. It was mugging them. The whole game. Just like, why are the ACC allowing Pitt to run? Like, this look like 90s football, the way they pushing them down. Like, this is crazy. I'm watching the game. I'm like, is Belichick coaching over there? Like, what is going on? Like, how are they allowing
it? It's aggressive. This is an aggressive brand of football they Pitt out there playing.
And Jeff Brown was pissed the whole game. He was pissed. He's like, man, how y'all not calling this stuff? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, people say, well, Pitt beat Louisville. Well, you know, if that was us playing Pitt and they mug our wide receivers all down the field the whole game, bro, I think we probably would have went down to the trifecta down there, North Carolina, the office in Charlotte. We'd have probably burnt the headquarters down.
So, you know, man, it would have been real bad. Yeah, we lose a game off of all these passes. Listen, when we operating,
yeah, so
it won't go well.
No, man, just bitching about the refs. And it's all across college football. It's all across NFL football. It's all across the NBA now. The NBA is so bad. I don't even know why they're reviewing calls in the NBA. Like, what in the hell are we doing in the NBA?
You call the foul, let the foul be, man. Ball out of bounds. Whatever you saw it. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Bro, I have never seen, like... Basketball is supposed to be... If you're the more physical, aggressive team... You dictate how the referees call the game in basketball.
It's always been like that.
Now we got to stop. Let's take a still picture. Did he put a hand on the hip? Did he not put a hand on the hip? Oh, did he push into his body? Did he not put? Oh, did he stay up? And I'm like, what are we doing in basketball?
It started when they started adding verticality to the rules. The first time I heard that, there ain't no foul because he went straight up like this. I'm like, yo, dog.
And then referees can't even keep the whistle in their pocket because the minute they don't call something, then the coach challenges and say that was this call. I'm like, man, this is crazy. So I think we want too much out of referees. We want too much.
Oh, shoot, my computer down.
It's time to stop. So anyway, that's enough of that on refereeing. I'm done with that. Oh, I will say this, though. My last thing I'm saying for the podcast. So they talk about the government shutdown on the 17th of November. This might happen. I think it's going to happen. And if it happens, I will have a lot of free time on my hands. So I will do a 30-minute podcast every day.
Hey, listen, I'm off for the rest of the year, man. I'm on vacation to the rest of the year. So you let me know. I'll be bored. I start on tomorrow. I'm off work until the rest of the year, man. Man, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to everybody, man. Say that vacation time up. But, I'm off for the rest of the year. If they shut down the government, hey, man, we'll do 30 every day. We just got a new listen up podcast. We'll talk about whatever we feel like. You know what I mean? We'll break down the practices like Sonone and them, man. We'll break it down. We'll take whatever Sonone's saying and just react off of that. He be having his little missions. That man is he will belabor a point, boy. I give him that. I like him, but Jesus.
Yeah. Man, well, but all right, man. That's a listen up podcast.
I don't want to touch that. Hey, man, we appreciate y'all. Rate, review, subscribe, retweet the episode, continue to send it out to the people. New followers, new listeners, we appreciate y'all for real. As always, this is the Listen Up Podcast. We out.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yep. Yep.
serve crack. I'm gonna find me some people.